Díob Galair agus tá fáilteróid go dtíonar gaile chun seo ar chinne go seachtainí ar maid an dónach seo an trochu lá déag trí lá déag de anna fhear a mórt mí Baltana Baltana you may have I don't know. Welcome to the Gaelic Hour here on the 13th day of June, coming to you live from the market in Ottawa. And when I say live, I will admit, last 3 weeks I happened to be elsewhere. I was on the other side enjoying a visit and trip to Ireland. And it's great to be back in the saddle here. And this morning we're going to talk to you about some of the upcoming events that are going on. We have Bloomsday around the corner, and we'll be here talking with Padraig Finlay and Stephen Dunn. And in the back half of the show, we're going to talk about some of the initiatives that are going on, some of the things that are happening relative to the economy in Ireland and emigration and immigration. And we'll be talking to Eamon O'Loughlin from Toronto about some of the initiatives the Toronto Irish Chamber of Commerce have underway. And also then we will be talking to Gabriel McCaffrey after that about what's happening here in Ottawa. The other thing, we will keep you up to date on some of the events that are going on in the city. And let me see, I'm a bit scattered. You will have noticed we're on a faster switchover now. We don't have the news at the moment. We normally would come out at 8 o'clock with the news, and I'd have had 3 minutes to get settled from the last program. Those days are gone. However, I have to tell you, I'm trying to arrange for an RTE. I've been in discussion with RTE, and I'm endeavouring to try and get a news feed. And my goal is to try and get it a spare, an English news feed for 8 o'clock, and if I can at all, then get a 3 minute headlines or Scalga for 9 o'clock. Slot. So I'm working on that, and hopefully that'll come to fruition fairly soon. But coming up just around the corner on the 16th of June, which is not that far away, Bloomsday, of course, is going to have its 106th anniversary. And right around the world, I noticed there is a Bloomsday site that talks in terms of various locations, New York and, of course, Dublin. Well, Ottawa is not being left out, because here in Ottawa, there will be celebrations at St. Bridget's, that's down at 310 St. Patrick Street, which include readings, music and dance. And someone that you're all very familiar with, Padraig Finlay, is very heavily involved in that, as is Stephen Dunn. And I have them here in studio with me. Padraig, Stephen, welcome to the Gaelic Hour.
Good morning.
Padraig, before I get into Bloomsday, you were with me a few weeks ago and you were talking about your Darcy McGee project, and you were heading down
to Halifax,
and you haven't got to the Miramichi yet.
Not yet, but I was in Halifax at the annual conference of the Canadian Association of Irish Studies, and that was chaired by Padraig O'Seal, who is the chair of the Darcy McGee Chair of Irish Studies at St. Mary's University in Halifax. So it was a wonderful conference. There were scholars there from Ireland, from the States, from Canada, students, musicians, poets, and whatnot. A wonderful poet, by the way, Micheál O'Seal, who turns out to be a neighbor of mine in Dublin, and he's a magnificent poet. Anyhow, I did a session on Thomas Darcy McGee. I gave a lecture for about 20 minutes on him. Then we played the demonstration video that we have shot. And then we opened it up to a workshop and focus group. So it was a very, very useful session with a lot of good feedback from the academics, from young students, from members of the general public. So it was very useful. But on my way back, and I really must tell you and your listeners about this, in Montreal, in the McCord Museum, there is a wonderful exhibition on the Irish in Quebec. And McCord himself was an Irish judge and lawyer who established this this museum. And the exhibition covers Irish characters that had such a big influence in Quebec. It There's an exhibition there on Gros Eel, on different characters, and of course on Thomas Darcy McGee, who was a member of Parliament for Montreal. Anyhow, if your listeners are going through Montreal, I would suggest that you drop into the McCord Museum and see the Irish exhibition.
All right, and to that's and the other end of that, when I said we were in Ireland, I had the opportunity to look at the sculptures on down in front of the Custom House. Beautiful, but tied up in front of those is the Jeannie Johnson, the replica of the Jeannie Johnson, and it is open to the public.
Yeah.
Certainly, very much worth the visit. Dublin has changed a lot over the years, and again, we'll talk about some of that in the economy in the back half of the show. But from an historic perspective, very moving.
Yeah, I think Austin, the artist who did those in Dublin also did statues in Toronto.
They're mirror. Like Dublin is where they're leaving.
Yes.
And Toronto, down in Ireland Park in Toronto, is where they're arriving.
Yeah. Well, I did visit that, and the day was just lashing of rain, and I nearly got blown into Lake Ontario.
Yeah.
Quite moving.
And I also have in studio with me this morning, Stephen Dunn. Stephen, give us a little bit of background on yourself.
Good morning, Austin. Well, excuse me. I'm over the years have been, like a lot of people, trying to read Ulysses. I'd put it down, pick it up, put it down, pick it up, turning pages back, wondering how come I can't hide my hair of this thing. So I thought, well, maybe one day if I heard somebody reading it to me, and out of this came, back in 2004, we put together a loose program, if you will, to at least initiate the Bloomsday celebration that's here in Ottawa, because prior to that, nothing much was evident. So in 2004, we did the celebration of the 100th memorial of the beginning of the walk around Dublin that became Ulysses. We did that at St. Joe's, did it episodically. We include readers and some lawyer evidence that we could get, which would and bracketed it with Swahili dancers, the youngsters giving us something like Spirit of the Streets of Dublin. Then Porrig was with us then, and this time we're doing it. We're gradually getting it enlarged, I guess is the word. We didn't want to start off too quickly and take on too much. So this is our second go at it at St. Bridges, which is a glorious history for Irish workmen here in Ottawa itself.
Stephen, your own personal attraction to Joyce and to Ulysses, what sparked that?
Well, the original Odyssey kind of pops up. Part of my early career was working in opera and ballet companies, and the Odyssey comes up in classical history as well. And it was really the challenge of getting into what is now known as a stream of consciousness. I've worked with Shakespeare and plays, etc., and that was fairly straightforward for me. But Ulysses has takes it another dimension, and the stream of consciousness, I just couldn't get my head around what was going on any one page.
And that begs the question, because as you rightly commented at the beginning, many people have taken Ulysses up hundreds of times. And I saw a quote somewhere, was it, that not too many people made it from start to finish. Or Ulysses is one of these books that everybody has picked up but nobody has read. Are you any the wiser?
Well, I'm getting an inkling now, particularly working with Porrig, who is something of a Joyce scholar, I suspect, and talking with people and discussing it without getting into the higher levels of intellectual discussion, just the almost Ulysses for the common man, that sort of, to help me along to understand. Yes.
And of course, when you talk about the common man, I put myself sitting there at the moment. And if I was to say, well, what's the Coles notes here of Ulysses, Warwick, you might help me out in this one. can you tell me in effect, it's an odyssey. We all know it's an odyssey. And the only reason we know it's an odyssey is we're told it's an odyssey.
But what is it really all about?
Considering Bloomsday is this reenactment of this odyssey as some way that weaves its way through this book.
Yeah. Well, I should tell you that in Ottawa for the last 21 years there has been an odyssey to unravel Ulysses. Brian Doyle, who is a local writer and playwright, is the president of the James Joyce Society of Ottawa. And they meet, I think it's the first Saturday of every month at 10 o'clock in the morning. There are pints of Guinness discreetly poured and Irish stew had. And they have been reading Ulysses for 21 years. And when they finish doing it, which I think takes about 14 months, they start again on chapter one. And what they do is they listen to a recording of the text of Ulysses done by Radio Television Éireann. And it's absolutely brilliantly done, because what it does, it distinguishes between the narrator, the stream of consciousness in going on in the head of each individual, and dialogue. So it unravels the very complex text of Ulysses and does it very well. Of course, we don't have 14 months. We have, I think, about 2 hours on Wednesday at St. Bridget's. So Ulysses itself. Well, it's the June the 16th, 1904, and it's the day in the life of Leopold Bloom, who is a Jewish advertising agent in Dublin. Also, it features Stephen Dedalus, who is James Joyce, and these characters wander around Dublin. They eventually get connected up. They end up in the red light district and finally in Leopold Bloom's outhouse on Eccles Street.
I didn't think there was a red light district in Dublin.
Well, apparently in 1904 there was.
But that was before the foundation of the state, because after that there were an awful lot of things didn't exist in Ireland.
Exactly. But Ulysses is based on the Greek tragedy. Joyce has it divided up into 18 chapters, and it's a sort of a takeoff thematically from the Greek mythology. It opens up in Sandy Cove at the Martello Tower, and it ends up with a soliloquy by Leopold Bloom's wife, Molly, which is one of the most powerful pieces of literature that there is. And we will be featuring that on Wednesday as well. So on Wednesday we're going to have selected readings by various people. I'm doing Leopold Bloom. We will have music. We will have the Fay Healy dancers and the urchins of the Dublin streets. We will have a lawyer, I think, because this was a very controversial book that was banned, as all good Irish literature is to start with, and was eventually published. So it's an amalgam of readings, music, some dancing, and it's fun.
Well, we'll take a musical interlude here, and given that it is a day in Dublin where Leopold Bloom wanders his way through the streets of Dublin, we're actually going to do Noel Purcell, who was a great old renowned person in Dublin, and his Dublin Saunter. You are listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Cummerton.
I've been north and I've been south and I've been east and west. I've been just a rolling stone. Yet there's one place on this earth I've always liked the best. Just a little town I call my own. But Dublin can be heaven with coffee at 11 and a stroll in Stephen's Green. No need to hurry, no need to worry. You're a king, and the lady's a queen. Grafton Street's a wonderland. There's magic in the air. There are diamonds in the lady's eyes and gold dust in her hair. And if you don't believe me, come and meet me there in Dublin on a sunny summer morning. I've been here and I've been there. I've sought the rainbow's end, but no crock of gold I found. Now I know that come what will, whatever fate may send, here my roots are deep in friendly ground. You know Dublin can be heaven, with coffee at 11 and a straw. Stephen's Green. There's no need to hurry, no need to worry. You're a king and the lady's a queen. Grafton Street's a wonderland. There's magic in the air. There are diamonds in the lady's eyes and gold dust in her hair. And if you don't believe me, come and meet me there in Dublin on a sunny summer morning. For Dublin can be heaven with coffee at 11 and a stroll in Stephen's Green. No need to hurry, no need to worry. You're a king and the lady's a queen. Grafton Street's a wonderland. There's magic in the air. There are diamonds in the lady's eyes and gold dust in her hair. And if you don't believe me, come and meet me there in Dublin on a sunny summer morning.
And of course, that sunny morning would be the 16th of June. Bloomsday, Grafton Street is a wonderland now. Do you get down Grafton Street, or would do the? I'm sure when Bloomsday is on, they get in and around that area.
Yeah, but Austin, as you play that music, I could smell the roasting coffee beans from Bewley's. If you recall walking down Grafton Street, there's Bewley's Cafe.
I think that was Monday 2 weeks ago.
Is that right? You were there, yeah. Anyhow, that's a very nice piece of music.
Oh, it is.
But yes, in that area on Bloomsday, Davy Byrne's pub was one of the places that they met. And as a matter of fact, there's two or three pubs in that area that do feature in Ulysses. And they're featuring again, of course, today.
Right. That's a wonderful piece of music because it's so descriptive of Dublin and the atmosphere in Dublin.
Yeah.
And I have to say that while we were there a little over 2 weeks ago, the Stephen's Green, I couldn't believe it. We had wonderful weather and you couldn't find a space on the grass.
Really?
Just Grafton Street's a wonderland and Stephen's Green's beautiful.
Yeah.
Back to Bloomsday. Pádraig, you're going to share a little bit of some of the text with us.
Right.
Now, was I meant to allow you, when we were playing some music, to don the hat and do all the rest of it?
Oh, I see.
That's okay. Was I meant to let you get into... it's radio, we're okay.
I did bring a bowler hat with me here, which you can't see, but anyhow, I'll try to wing it without the bowler hat.
Yeah, I'm sure you can manage without the prop. Over to you.
So this scene is Glasnevin Cemetery. And Leopold Bloom goes by coach and carriage to the cemetery, and he has various thoughts going on in his very convoluted mind. So here he is talking to himself with a bit of narration that ties it together. Ah, change that soap now. Mr. Bloom's hand unbuttoned his hip pocket swiftly and transferred the paper-stuck soap to his inner handkerchief pocket. He stepped out of the carriage, replacing the newspaper his other hand still held. Ah, paltry funeral. Coach, three carriages. It's all the same. Paw bears, gold reins, requiem mass, firing a volley, pomp of death. Beyond the hind carriage, a hawker stood by his barrow of cakes and fruit. Simnel cakes, those are, stuck together, cakes for the dead. Dog biscuits. Who ate them? Mourners coming out now. Where is that child's funeral disappeared to? Ah, the coffin now. Got here before us, dead as he is. Horse looking round at it with his plume skewaways. Dull eye. Collar tight on his neck, pressing on a blood vessel or something. Do they know what they cart out here every day? Must be 20 or 30 funerals every day. Then Mount Jerome for the Protestants. Funerals all over the world, everywhere, every minute. Shoveling them under by the cartload, double quick. Thousands by the hour. Too many in this world. And on he goes.
So that piece there, where are what are we getting? The layman's version.
What was that all about?
That's always the kind of question on some of this. The layman's version.
Yeah. Well, it's basically Leopold at Glasnevin Cemetery getting out of the coach and observing what's going on, people coming and thinking about all the people that get buried throughout the world. And there's a very graphic piece later on which he describes rats scurrying around the graves, and then he gets into the minds of the rats and what they think and the nice food they have with the corpses and whatnot. So it's quite subliminal. And Joyce was a person who wrote about these very secret thoughts that people have and various bodily functions that people have, which up until that time, of course, wasn't touched in literature. So that was one of the reasons of the controversy with his writings.
Yeah, I remember seeing the movie, I think it's Stephen Ray,
mm-hmm.
Plays Leopold Bloom. And a wonderful, he does a wonderful job in bringing it alive as well.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. I saw Miles O'Shea, is it? Milo O'Shea. Milo O'Shea, yeah. Do it in black and white, and yeah. it was a very good rendition.
So, Stephen. I know I asked you earlier on, are you any the wiser? So, the experience of Bloomsday and what you get from it, it's something deep down that touches you in this.
It is indeed. I think the more I get into it, delve into it, and I think I'm just getting a glimmer of what Porrig was just enunciating there, that somehow getting into behind the speech or the words rather than just the usual when you're reading, you go through and it goes into your brain and you've got an in. But now I think I'm starting, and really it's listening to Porrig and people who are more into Joyce than just my cursory look at it. I'm starting to get a glimmer of, I can almost relax when I'm reading it now, because of the intellectual, if you will, thoughts surrounding it. The language has got its own rhythm, and you kind of have to think in that rhythm rather than just my own speech pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And now and again, I get a little flash and go, "Wow, that's what it's all about," and then it's gone again. But so I just keep at it, and I'd like to say that with St. Bridget's now being available to us with its own great Irish history as a cathedral, as a church, to the working man, to the Irish working man here in Ottawa, and Pat MacDonald and Rosemary O'Brien fully behind us and kindly facilitating our being there.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we'll... this will grow and continue until we won't match Dublin, but we will have an Ottawa Bloomsday celebration ongoing from what we see from here.
Now, if you were to say having an Ottawa Bloomsday celebration, you mean that you actually kind of set up a nearly a circuitous route where you could do your trip through the streets?
Yeah, well, actually, Austin, next year we're hoping to do that, to select locations in Ottawa, near the canal, the Bytown Museum, and the market, that are reflective of scenes in Dublin,
okay.
Grafton Street, the Martello Tower in Sandy Cove, and so on and so forth. And next year, we hope to have a number of readers do readings in these different locations and do a video of that. So we have a documentary of that. As you alluded to before, around the world, Bloomsday is celebrated, particularly in Dublin, and they've been at that for years, and it's really developed into something very big there. The Toronto Irish Players have been doing it as well in Toronto for some time. And one thing we should mention is we're grateful to the Embassy of Ireland here in Ottawa, who arranged for us to have a series of posters on James Joyce that was developed on Joyce in 2004, and they've kindly lent us those posters. There's 12 of them. So Stephen will have those set up in St. Bridget's so people can read on Joyce, the Reader's Digest version, and get a sense of the man and his time and his contribution to English literature.
Excellent. Well, that's an excellent way for us to wrap up, because again, the 16th, and I see doors open at 6:30, and if you want to contact Aisling Lawler to make reservations, or there's limited seating, and there is no cover charge, 613-244-7373. So that is June 16th, St. Bridget's, 310 St. Patrick Street. And I was going to mention, and I do need to mention, that I was at Orpheus on Friday night, and the musical out there, the producers, has a Leopold Bloom in it, and he does make one brief reference to Joyce in that very, very enjoyable and funny production. Guys, I want to thank you for getting up with this unearthly hour of the morning. We're at the coming down to the bottom of the hour, and we're going to go into our commercial break with a little piece of music by Dervla Finnegan, and it is called Dublin Street. So, Pádraig, thanks a million, and Stephen, thanks for coming in.
Great being here.
You are listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Camerton, and this is Dervla Finnegan and Dublin Streets. Thank you.
Pasquale and Dominic, also known as Pat and Dom, invite you to their recently renovated Trattoria Cafe Italia at 254 Preston. The stylish yet family-like atmosphere of the Sopra Banquet Hall accommodates anything from corporate lunches to holiday parties to intimate family events. Sopra offers a wide and delectable selection of dishes, making each event memorable and pleasurable. Trattoria Cafe Italia and Sopra, 613-236-1081.
Monterey Inn is your premier choice for an exceptional stay in a resort setting along the Rideau River, close to the airport and a short journey to the nation's capital. The Monterey Inn offers a host of features for the discerning visitor that includes meeting and conference facilities, an outdoor heated pool, and a fitness center. Drop in and enjoy the fine dining experience of La Bodega Lounge. The Monterey Inn at 2259 Prince of Wales Drive, 613-288-3500 or www.monterey.ca.
June 10th to 20th is Italian Week of Ottawa on Corso Italia. Preston Street comes alive with great Italian music, food, pageantry, art, and opera. 10 days chock full of entertainment. Don't miss the gala night, the boat cruise, the food tasting night, and the Abruzzo and Malese cultural night. And Saturday, June 19th, Chin Radio broadcasts live from the heart of Ottawa's Little Italy. Italian Week of Ottawa on Preston Street from June 10th to the 20th. For more information, visit ItalianWeekOttawa.com.
The little Irish village in the heart of the Byward Market had its humble beginnings in 1992 with the now famous Heart and Crown, a second venue, the Snug Pub, since 1997. And then there's Mother McGinty's and Roisin Dubh, Black Rose, since 2001. They complete the Irish village, each a treasure in its own way. Visit the Irish village. We can accommodate groups of all sizes, private seating areas, spacious patios, and party rooms. Tell us about your special event and we will take care of the rest. 613-562-0674.
Welcome back to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Cameron. And you are very aware, I'm sure, that there is an economic problem in Ireland. Anyone who has been paying any attention to anything would be very aware of that. And as a result of that, we're seeing numerous people coming across from Ireland, young people particularly, because there were 4,000. If you were listening last week when I had Pat Binns on, he mentioned how there were 4,000 what are one-year visas for Irish people to come to Canada, working visas, and that many of these come to people that are up to 35 years of age. Well, on the 1st of June in Toronto, the Ireland-Canada Chamber of Commerce Ottawa chapter took an initiative to provide an information evening for some of the influx of people. And one of the people behind all this is the executive director of the Ireland-Canada Chamber of Commerce in Toronto, and that's Eamon O'Loughlin. Eamon, welcome to the Gaelic Hour.
Good morning. How are you doing there, Austin? We're kind of a dull day here in Toronto, but we're heading off to see the big Cork-Kerry replay now in a couple of minutes, so looking forward to that.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute, because I was sitting in the house, I was sitting in the house of a good Cork man last week, and we were told keep a wide berth as the final whistle went, because he wasn't very happy with the draw.
No, it was not a good result for Cork, and there was some question marks in relation to some of the refereeing. But anyway, that's not why we're here today.
Not at the moment. So, first of all, the Ireland-Canada Chamber in Toronto, give us a little bit of background about how long it's been down there and what you guys are about.
Well, we've been operating now, Austin, for about 17 years. In fact, we're having our 17th annual golf tournament this coming Thursday. And, you know, it's an organization that has gone from strength to strength. I'd say we have about 250 members. And we took this initiative because we know there's so many people, new arrivals arriving on our shores. And quite a large percentage of them are coming to Toronto. And we as an organization thought the right thing to do would be to try and help as many of them as we could through our connections, through our networking, because many of us have been here for many years. I came over in 75 myself. So, you know, our members do know a lot of people in the community. They do know a lot of people in the wider Canadian business community. And so we do have potential connections. So on the night of June the 1st at P.J. O'Brien's in downtown Toronto, in the Pat Quinn Lounge, we invited everybody to an information night, and it's amazing now how the word can get out, you know, through Facebook, through emails, and just all sorts of social networking ways of getting the crowds out. And on the night, about 120 of these new arrivals showed up.
Was there any kind of a common theme? If you're getting 120 guys turning up, that's a lot of people, kind of literally, that are green off the boat looking for information. Were you sensing a common problem and a common issue?
Well, yes. I mean, on the one hand, the common problem for all of them was, you know, they're all now educated. They all have degrees. They all have trades. And they're hitting the market in Ireland at a time where, you know, there's very little opportunity. And I mean, the word out there globally was that Canada is the place to go. We seem to have survived the recession better than most countries. And the policies, I guess, of Jim Flaherty and having the banks in Canada being a little bit more responsible. Seems to have worked for Canada. While it's no gravy train in Canada, as we know at the moment, it is a bit better than many other places. So all these young people saw Canada as the place to go. And I guess the other common theme is, you know, that they're finding it's the streets are not paved with gold. It's not easy out there. But, you know, if they put the right foot forward, they will have the opportunity, many opportunities, given that they have all this one-year working visa.
Like, I know, Eamon, that you and I both received communication from Leon Richardson in Dublin, because one of the issues that's also arising is that there are numerous organizations in Ireland that are very anxious to try and provide accurate information, because there's a lot, as you just pointed out, the perception in Ireland is that the streets in Canada are paved in gold, and it's not quite like that. I know somebody mentioned to me that one of the issues is these people need to be made aware that their accreditation is not recognized here, whatever degrees they may have, and that often presents itself as a major problem.
Well, I think for the most part, their accreditations are recognized. Now, you know, obviously there's areas that they're not, but, you know, just because we found a young man from Dublin who was an electrician, and he was at his wit's end because he hadn't an Ontario license to practice. But then we connected him with somebody who told him what he should do and where he should go. And he was able to get his license, Ontario license, within, you know, by filling out some forms. And in a couple of days, he had his license. So I think it's a matter of them being able to find the right information. So one of the things the Chamber here in Toronto has done is, and you know, if there's some of your listeners in Ottawa who have friends or family or anyone that may be coming to Canada, this is a good job site to website to go to. It's called www.irishjobs.ca. And there's a wealth of information on there on what people should do when they come to Canada. And we had a gentleman by the name of Dennis Donnelly, who's a management consultant, came from Dublin in the late 60s. He stepped up to the plate big time, came and spoke to all these young people, and in fact put on a two-hour seminar a week later, just this week, on what they should and shouldn't do and how they need to put their best foot forward, because they are in a competitive market. And that all that information, actually, even the special seminar that Dennis gave to these young people, is now on that website, irishjobs.ca, and it can be accessed anywhere. And any of the people who are here or are coming can upload their resumes to this website, and we're just encouraging as many companies and individuals as possible to go look at this website and pick some of these people who are very talented, very educated, and want to work. I mean, we had one amazing story where a young man from Mahara in Northern Ireland, he put up his resume onto this website. He's a landscape architect, and one of the companies in Toronto owned by an Irish guy, John Quinn from Port Tumna, saw the resume, contacted the young man, and John was going over to play golf in Northern Ireland, and he actually interviewed this lad in Portrush, and this lad has now got a job in Canada before he even arrived. So, you know, these are the kind of things that are happening.
And, of course, you probably, as did I, got an email this week with six resumes attached from out west, all Irish guys who were over and highly skilled. I'm looking at them here. There's qualifications, University of IT in Tala, one of the guys, Dublin Institute of Technology. There's just a huge number of highly qualified people. That there's a tremendous opportunity for Canada to benefit and for Irish companies in Canada to benefit from.
Absolutely, and you know, the resumes keep coming in, and anything we can do, we help when we can. We don't give them any false promises that we're going to get them jobs, but we do tell them some of the right information, and we'll give them leads whenever we can. But at the end of the day, they've got to take up the baton and move it forward themselves. And I mean, I just had an email this morning from Dennis Donnelly, who said to me that, you know, he called one of these young people during the week on their cell phone on the number that was listed on their resume, and you know the way the phone was answered was in a gruff manner and in a noisy place, and he just said, you know, if these people, young people, are going to put a number on their resume, they need to, you know, between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. on any given business day, answer that phone in a real professional manner, because, you know something, employers will give you one shot to make a first impression. And, so there's all sorts of good information and things to do and things not to do. So God love them, you know. I mean, I know some of them are somewhat depressed that they don't find something in the first week or the second week. But I guess we've all gone through it as immigrants.
And you know, you raised a very, very fascinating but important point there. It is down to the simple little things of, if you put a number on a resume, that every time you answer the phone, you may be judged by just how you say hello. And, you know, having somebody pointing that out is critical.
Yes, you know, I mean, you know, so many of these young people that they're fresh out of university, you know, haven't had their first job yet. So, you know, and many of them are babes in the woods. And so the more we can give them good advice, the better. And it is working. We you know, I know of several of these people that came to PJ O'Brien's on June 1st. Just this week alone, several sent emails to us thanking the chamber and asking to take their resumes off the website now because they have got jobs. So, you know, it's incremental. We'll never get them all jobs, but anything we can do. And if there's, you know, companies in Ottawa up there, you know, Toronto is not the hub of the world, obviously. And there could be some great jobs up there in Ottawa as well. And you're hearing my three neighbors' dogs.
It's beginning to sound like...
Oh, dearly.
Sounds like...
Yeah, my neighbor doesn't have one dog. She's got three dogs.
It sounds like the cops are after you here.
So there you go.
We'll switch gears slightly. I was listening to that wonderful interview you did yesterday with John Doyle. And, of course, we're into World Cup season here. What are your who are you cheering for?
Well, I'm actually in a draw down at our local, and you know, everybody picks a country, and I pulled Honduras, so I'm hoping they're going to be the Cinderella team. But anyway, haven't seen too many impressive games so far, so I think it's a bit early in the game. But I mean, I'm not a big soccer aficionado myself. I'm more a GAA man.
Yeah.
Haven't really been following the Garrison games over the years too much. But they say, I guess, Spain is the one to look out for.
Right. And of course, John's book, which is The World is a Ball, is a fantastic and wonderful, beautifully written book, and great storytelling in it. I really enjoyed reading it,
he's an amazing writer, and I loved his last book, Feast of Light, when he wrote about the first time there was television in Ireland, and that's a great book as well. For many, they might recognize John Doyle as the TV critic at the Globe and Mail, and great guy, great writer, and great Irishman.
Indeed, indeed. Well, Eamon, I know you were complaining yesterday that I was getting you up at an unearthly hour. Well, you know, that's the joys of it. You might only have to come on here at 8:30, but I was up a lot earlier than that. But I do want to thank you for taking the time to come on the air this morning and sharing what's going on down in Toronto with us.
Thanks, Austin, and the best of luck to you up there as the Ottawa chapter of the Chamber launches its inaugural dinner in a week or so with Ambassador Declan Kelly, and we're sure going to miss him when he goes, and Carl Gardner as well. They've been two amazing representatives of Ireland in Canada. We're sure going to miss them.
Indeed, and we're going to be hearing about what's going on with the Ottawa Chamber. Shortly, we're going to go into a little piece of music, which is by Robin Averill, and it's called The Green Green Valley, which is what an awful lot of people on the other side are looking across the ocean and viewing is what's over here is a green green valley. Well, it is, but it takes time to find the grass, and it doesn't grow without some nurturing, and our job is to help nurture it. Eamon O'Loughlin, thanks a million for coming on the Gaelic Hour.
There's a valley where the maple grows and the mighty Ottawa River flows. The Irish sailed across the sea to Canada's thick country. Overland they journeyed to the great unknown, or a bout of green to call their own. From the shamrock shore they chance to roam to find a new valley home. Oh, the green, green valley, oh, that borders Quebec and Ontario. The settlers came from old Ireland to Canada's green valley grand. They settled down by the Gatineau Hills. Some follow the river on up through Shawville to where Pontiac and Lanark lie beneath the clear blue sky. And on the farm they tilled the soil, built the Rideau Canal with sweat and toil. Music rang with dance and song, and the singing goes on and on. Oh, the green, green valley, oh, that borders Quebec and Ontario. The settlers came from old Ireland to Canada's green valley grand. With pride and courage they built this land, so proud and strong, this Celtic clan. And to this day, they still do dwell in the valley they love so well. Oh, the green, green valley, oh, that borders Quebec and Ontario. The settlers came from old Ireland to Canada's green valley grand.
And, of course, that was Robin Averill and the Green, Green Valley. And talking about the Irish coming across to settle the land here. Well, we heard there from Eamon O'Loughlin and in telling us what's going on today. And as he mentioned, we have an Ottawa response. The Ireland-Canada Chamber of Commerce has been operating in Toronto, Montreal, Calgary, Edmonton, and Vancouver. And now there is a chapter being formed here in Ottawa. And I have Gabriel McCaffrey on the phone with me. Good morning, Gabriel.
Good morning, Eamon. Good morning, Austin. How are you?
I'm good. I'm bright and fresh, bushy-eyed and all that kind of stuff. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, whatever the appropriate one is. You were listening there to Eamon telling us about the experience that's going on down in Toronto.
I was, and it's very encouraging because, of course, Toronto has been involved in having a chamber for a lot longer, and they're certainly doing some very good things there that we wish to emulate. But we're up and running in Ottawa now, and we got some very enthusiastic, energetic, and very highly competent people well connected around the city involved in our new chamber. And as you know, we're doing a membership launch on June 21st.
And that's going to take place over at the Rideau Club?
That's correct. We're having an inaugural dinner. It's really a membership launch evening, and we're very excited. We're honored to have as our special guest of honor His Excellency Declan Kelly, our ambassador from Ireland to Canada.
Now, while it's a launch of the chamber, one of the things here in the city is for many, many years there have been quite a lot of cultural organizations, but there's a hole when it comes to the business community.
Absolutely, and like a lot of folks in the Irish community in Ottawa, I've been involved in some of the cultural organizations on and off over the years. In my own particular case, because I've had three daughters here in Canada, I've been involved in the Irish dancing starting way back, let's say, over 20 years ago, and was in that for many, many years till the girls grew up and moved on. But all the cultural organizations in the city serve a variety of very, very worthwhile and very enjoyable activities. You know, the GAA for the footballers and the hurlers, and the theatre group, and the Cultus, Cultriern for the music culture, and the dancing, and so on, as I said. But we've never really had a business organization in the city to address the needs of Irish business professionals. So I think it's long overdue, and I'm very excited that it's happening.
Now, when you say to address the needs of the Irish business professionals, of course, the Chamber is, while it's networking within the city itself, it also is presenting the opportunity for what would be Canadian businesses to connect with Irish people and Irish people to connect with Canadian businesses.
It absolutely is, Austin. One of the things that I just resonated when I was listening to Eamon is that there is, sadly, because of the global economic downturn of the last couple of years and some of its impact on Ireland, there is, once again, a re-emerging emigration of some of our finest and best educated young people from Ireland. And like yourself, I've had some of these people connecting with me, and they're looking for whatever help they can to bring their skills and their experience and apply it, to a new life in Canada. And this is one of the things, of course, that I wish and that we all hope that we will be able to achieve with our Ottawa chapter of the Chamber, is to, act as somewhat as an introductory place where we can maybe put some of these people in connection with the business network that we all have here in the National Capital Region.
I know also, Gabriel, that there's most of us probably who have strong ties back home in the form of cousins, uncles or nephews, nieces and all that are all probably very aware even of some people within our own extended family who are having to look abroad at this stage.
We have, I have a young nephew myself in Belfast who's a graduate of Queen's University, a movie program, and a very, very accomplished young videographer in his own right. But, because of the limited market in Ireland, he even has been speaking to me about the idea of maybe coming to Canada and trying out for his skills here. And I always encourage that you start with family, but you move wider into your community. So I'm always available, and the chapter will be available to help all kinds of young people coming here to get a start.
And as I said to him, one of the issues that arises is there's this perception, first of all, in Ireland that Canada is, the streets are paved in gold, but then the perception is you go to Toronto, and as Eamon pointed out, they have their challenges as well. So the advantage of a national network would mean that Ottawa could benefit from the skill sets that may be coming over, but in order for that to happen, of course, we have to have a network that we can do that.
You do, but I'd just like to address this thing about, Toronto, Ottawa, Vancouver. Canada, as a nation, has got many fine centres, many fine cities where there's all kinds of opportunity in different endeavours. In Ottawa, in particular, Austin, we have a strong, a robust technology sector, and I know we've had some downturns in the technology sector over the last lot of years, but the sector is emerging once again and is getting stronger. If you talk to people in Oakree and in Kata and other organizations, it's clear that Ottawa is going to go forward again and go forward very strongly. So there's a lot of technology educated folks coming over from Ireland, and Ottawa may actually be somewhat of a better choice than Toronto. And of course, this kind of information and disseminating, you know, good information is part of the purpose of the chapter when we communicate with these people.
Well, Gabriel, let's kind of give the housekeeping details again for anyone that wants. The dinner is on June 21st.
It's on June 21st at the Rideau Club in Bank Street. It starts at around 5:30 p.m. With cocktails, followed by dinner at 6:30 p.m. And you can go to a website that we've set up. The URL is www.ottawaevents/, and I think that should get you to it.
And, of course, if anyone wants to get in touch with me, it's austin@thegaelicar.ca, and I will be happily able to help. And you can also, there's a phone number out there. If you want information, it's 613-800-1853. That's 600-800-1853. And you can get someone will call you back and give you full information. Of course, the Chamber is very anxious to attract younger members, and younger members, of course, are those people that are under 40 years of age. Gabriel, you and I know kind of, we kind of come into the veteran category straight off.
Well, thanks very much for that lead, Austin. Yes, can't get involved in the 40 under 40 anymore, but yeah, there's a real desire that we facilitate a business social networking organization that's going to be attractive to people in that earlier part of their careers, let's say, you know, the people in the recent university graduates and so on that are starting to get involved in business, either working for large corporations or even being entrepreneurs. We will be able to facilitate all of those people by giving them an Irish business network which they can used to help others and to network themselves.
Well, Gabriel, thanks a million for coming on this morning, and I know I'm looking forward to June 21st, and I hope that we see lots of people out there. It's, you don't have to own a business to be a member of a chamber, and you don't even have to be in a high-tech company, but it's about people connecting with people to help people on a business level.
Absolutely, Austin. Sorry to just, before you go on, I didn't mean to imply that it's only one sector of the economy. Ottawa certainly has a lot of different sectors, and there's all kinds of people coming into the chamber from all different backgrounds.
Indeed, indeed. Gabriel, as I said, thanks a million for coming on this morning, and we look forward to June 21st.
Take care, Austin.
Take care. You are listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Cameron, and of course, we'll be back. We're coming up to the top of the hour, and the Gaelic Hour now runs for 2 hours. So once we go past 9 o'clock, we will not have any news. We'll be straight into some music. And as I mentioned at the start of the program, I'm trying to work on making connections with RTE, hopefully, that I can get news feed both in English and in Irish, and we'll be able to bring those to you. Because this program is brought to you in part by the generous support that we receive from the Heart and Crown and also from the Monterey Inn Resort. Without their help, we would not be broadcasting. And, of course, also we receive support from the Friends of the Gaelic Hour. And all that support is invaluable.
In Canada's capital, this is CJLL, Ottawa Gatineau's multicultural radio voice, broadcasting in over 20 languages, serving 40 ethno-cultural communities. This is Chin Radio, 97.9 FM.